Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
I know it's early, but we can be wake up in God's house. Amen. Let's say praise the Lord again. Let's say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you raise your hand and say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. It's a blessing to be in God's house. And also it's a blessing to be alive. We don't want to take it for granted. It's a blessing to breathe God's oxygen on every morning and every hour, every second. It's a blessing to be alive. It's a blessing to be in God's house, to give Him all the glory. I feel that I'm in Haiti this morning by listening Kumbaya. My Lord. Yes, He is here. I know you have a neighbor next by you. Can you move to this lady to say, God still alive? God still alive. Yes, we don't want to be stranger in God's house. Open your Bible with me in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. To 37. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, then He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called them, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or perils, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors to Him that love us. You may take your seat. The subject this morning that I'm going to share with you is reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. Beloved, no one wants to be an alcoholic. No one say, do you know what? When I get older, I think I will be a drug addicted. No one wants to have an anger problem. No man gets married and wants to hate his children or his wife. No one who suffers from depression or depression wants to be that way. However, if you look further into the situation, you can usually find out through counseling that the mother was like that. The father was like that. Or the grandparents were like that. This is a generational curse. When we have broken the power of our generational curse, we are no longer destined to just run out the enemy, but to defeat him as well. By the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the power of that bondage is broken forever. Intercession has been made. We are truly become more than conquerors. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loves us. Hallelujah. To actually reverse the curse, if all Jesus was died for us on the cross to pay the price for our sin, so we could make heaven our home for eternity, we would still never be able to repay him. But as I have Jesus who died on the cross for us, he did more than forgiving us of our sin. He broke the curse of sin. The curse can be reversed and live in victory. We can live in victory. We must recognize the enemy. We must learn to recognize him for who he is. But as Christians, we are to fight the good fight. In every area of our lives, it's only a good fight if it's a fight we can win. And we can only win when we are fighting the real enemy. The fact that the people are not our enemies, but I believe this is vitally important and bears repeating, they are simply tools in the hands of the enemy. When something good happens to us, we should give God the glory. And when something bad happens, we should blame the devil and his demons, not human beings. When we blame men for the bad that happened to us, we begin to perceive them as our enemy, as being against us. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. When people pray for you and you are blessed and healed, it is God who uses them and work through them. They are simply tools in the hands of God. The simple principle is true: if people are used to hurt you, they are still just tools. But instead of being tools in the hands of God, they have become tools in the hands of the devil to do his evil work. God's move to people to bless people, but Satan move to people to hurt people. God gets the glory, and Satan gets the blame. The key to victory in this area for each one of us is to realize the nature of our warfare. Our enemy is not a person or another human being. Our enemy is not a person. Our enemy is Satan. The battle is not with flesh and blood or against we can see it is a spirituals. It is spirituals. Forgive people who have hurt you. It's not easy to do. But God said forgive. And we must forgive if we want God to be on our side. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus taught his disciple how to pray, and he include forgiveness as a vital part of prayer. We are to ask God to forgive us of our sin as we forgive others who have sinned against us. When we ask God to forgive us, he will forgive. But on the condition that we forgive those who have hurt us. If we want Jesus to forgive us of our sin, then we must forgive others of their sins. The Bible instructs us to love your enemies. Yes, to love our enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spiritually use you and persecute you. While Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. Those who crucified Jesus knew exactly what they were doing. They had carefully plotted his demise and set him up. They beat him and whip him. They mock him, ridicule him, and slandered him. They pounded nail into his hand. How could we raise the question? How could Jesus say they did not know what they were doing while they are doing wrong to him? While they are mocking him? But he understood that what we must do, the people were not his enemies. Satan was his enemy. And Satan is our enemy. Satan is behind every evil thing that happened to us. So we must never go to war with people. We must go to war with our real enemy, Satan. If we are at war with people, we are fighting a losing battle. The weapon of our warfare as Christian are spiritual weapon, and we can only use spiritual weapon on spiritual enemies. We can then forgive those who hurt us and bind the evil that causes us to hurt. Forgiveness stops the return of pain and reverses the cycle of destructive events. When you and I are refusing to forgive one another, or when we ignore the issue, we deprive ourselves of the healing we need and remain in bondage to the past hurts of life. Problems that are not dealt with do not go away. They go underground. By not forgiving, we continue to feel the fury within us. Reliving the pain events over and over again, we become a prisoner of our past. When we release the wrongdoing from he or she has done to you, you set the prisoner free, and the prisoner is you and I. We must set them free, and we must be free by forgiving one another. The truth is that if you are holding resentment towards someone who hurt you, you are not hurting them, you are hurting yourself. The other person goes on with their life, but bitterness will tear you up on the inside and rob you of your destiny. Yes, it's robbing you. So, can you tell your neighbor, we need to forgive. We need to forgive. There is too much at stake to wallow in on unforgiveness. The devil may have ripped you off in your past, but do not let him rip you off in your future. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you and I, we do not have to treat the symptoms. We need to treat the cause. We must not treat the symptom. We must treat the cause. The pain we suffer in life require more than slapping a bandage on them, because our problem go deeper than what we see on the surface. We must look carefully. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause troubles, and by his may become, his many become defiled. Can you say amen to that? Deep down, we all want to love and be loved. We all want to feel good about ourselves. But wounds from the past often prevent us from experiencing love and contentment. Sometimes the truth may be hurting people, may be hurting us. But if we are honest, we have to admit that we all have suffering from low self-esteem at one time or another. When we've been deeply rejected ourselves, esteem, suffer severely, and we usually end up retaliating against someone, we may also end up taking on some form of addictive behavior. Addictions such as alcohol, drugs, food, sex, gambling, and excessive expending are obviously destructive. Many people also throw themselves into their jobs and even in their ministries, trying either to escape from their inner feelings or to prove their own self-worth. Praise God. We have been delivered from the bondage. The chains of sins are broken, and we are delivered. When we are in bondage of any kind, usually struggling with issues as insecurity, jealousy, defensiveness, paranoia, self-pity, contention, anxieties, pessimistic, depression, loneliness, victim mentally, Beloved brothers and sisters, God is completely able to set you free from every emotional bondage you face, as you allowed him to pinpoint the cause and the root of your pain. He can deliver you from the curse, from the cause, from the root, and the tormenting symptom that you have produced. You cannot change your past, but you can change your future. You and I can reach a place of victory over your past before you can move forward into your future. And we know that all things work together. Hallelujah. For those who love God, to those who are called according, hallelujah, to his purpose. Forgiveness began with a choice. Let go of the past and grab on to God's promises for your future, for it is a glorious one. Jeremiah 29 said, "For I know the plans I have for you." God has a good plans for you. He has a good plans for me. Declare his word. Plan to prosper. To prosper you, to prosper me, to prosper the families, and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope, and plans to give you a good future. All of that are in God's hand. God is completely willing and able to set you free from every emotional bondage you face. Hallelujah. My hope, hallelujah, is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, hallelujah, the solid rock I stand. All other ground are seeking sand. All other ground are seeking sand. Beloved, without God's love, where would and I be? I am satisfied, hallelujah, with my Lord. I don't know about you, but do you satisfy with your Lord? We are sealed by the Spirit of the living God. We can rejoice because we have been supplied. Our God is able. Our God is a good deliverer. He is our sufficient. Nothing, hallelujah, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Victory is mine. Victory is yours. Victory is ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing present, nothing to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who died on Friday. Amen. Hallelujah. He died. But later day he was going to be down there. But early Sunday morning, He got up. Hallelujah. And he's coming back for you and I. So victory is mine. Victory is yours. He is completely able to deliver us. Hallelujah. The curse. We no longer have that curse on us because Jesus took it away for you and I. So be free. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is free. So today you and I can have an hallelujah in our hearts, on our lips. He is able. Hallelujah. He is able. So be free when you are in God's house to say hallelujah. Because we need a song in our hearts. Trouble will come. But God is still on our side. Cher Seigneur, qu'est-ce que aidez-moi, alléluia, restez ferme, moi bouqué, fatigué, no longer in bondage. God bless you.
Let the church say amen. Everybody standing to their feet. Come on, choir. Let's get ready to extend an invitational song. And the preacher has preached the gospel. The deacons and deaconess and clergy, we want you to help us extend the invitation to Christian discipleship into the aisles. This is our opportunity to ask that if there is anyone who has never made a profession of Christ, profession of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to offer that opportunity to you today. The preacher has preached, the curse is broken. How many of you believe the curse is broken? How many know that believe the devil is a liar? That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever could imagine, ask, or think. So we want to extend this invitation to anyone who wishes to give their life to the Lord Jesus. And more, most importantly, and if there's anyone who doesn't have a church home, we want to offer this opportunity for you to join our church today. So either one of those invitations.